It is a pleasure to be with you this morning and to enjoy the 25th anniversary celebration of Mission Fest. It was wonderful to be part of that group 25 years ago and to catch the vision for what God would have for each one of us. I was part of a little people's ministry, a small group of missionaries reaching children. And I believe God has reached out through those children to reach others. It also gives me a great pleasure, as having been a missionary in our province, the Belle Province of Quebec, and to pray from the time I accepted Christ at 13 years of age for the people there, that God would bless and raise up people who would reach others, and that he would bless and watch care over the pastors and missionaries and leaders of that province. But this morning, my opportunity is to introduce the speaker that I feel you will come to love. As you are well aware from the bio presented by the Mission Fest folder for 2008 for our 25th anniversary celebration, our plenary speaker for this Saturday morning is Dr. Karen Frieda Henriksen. She was born in that beautiful province of Quebec and received Christ as her Savior at age 16. The Bible verse that God gave her was from Romans 10 and 14. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Dr. Henriksen, of course, after calling, studied medicine at McMaster University in Hamilton, and after her internship, set up her practice out here in the west coast of White Rock, British Columbia. She served on the missions board at Community Bible Church in South Surrey, where she heard a talk by a missionary on reaching the unreached peoples of the world. In 1986, she joined Africa Evangelical Fellowship to be involved in primary health care amongst an unreached people group. After her linguistic training at Trinity Western out in Langley and tropical medicine training in Liverpool, England, Karen would then serve in Gabon and our area of Zambia. Today, she feels a great pressing need to finish the Great Commission in southern Angola and to be effectively reaching out to 5 to 6, perhaps 10 outlying areas there. It is my pleasure and honor to be able to present her this morning. And before we do, I would like to have a word of prayer for her and for her ministry, for her work, and as she shares with each one of you to reach your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great opportunity of coming again before your throne. We thank you for what you have done through people, through ordinary and extraordinary people over these past 25 years, and again the vision of what you will do in the future. We thank you for Dr. Karen and how you have blessed her life and have given wings and fruit to that ministry. We pray now, as she speaks to our hearts, that we'll be drawn to you, and each one will search our hearts and say, Lord, what can we do to reach the unreached? And if there are those who need to come and speak to us afterwards and share, we pray that you will make our hearts soft and ready for you. Bless her now. Bless each one of us, because we ask you in your precious and most holy name. Amen. Now I'd like to present Dr. Karen Frieda Henriksen. It is with great honor and pleasure.
Good morning. Good morning, beautiful bride of Jesus Christ, the beautiful bride. Have you got your Bibles here? I'd like to turn to a passage in Luke 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. To preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Lord Jesus, send us. Send us to tell of others of your love, Jesus, your healing love. Preaching is very simple. Preaching is telling people about Jesus Christ. Healing is also something that we do or happens in us every single day of our lives. Our bodies are constantly being healed. Our bodies are constantly being rejuvenated. And the skin that we see, that layer of skin, 3 weeks ago was the new skin, and it's risen to the top. And every 3 weeks, the skin of our body is rejuvenating. It is renewed. It's healing. The disciples were sent out by Jesus Christ to preach and heal, to share the good news. But their story didn't start on the day that Jesus sent them out. Their story started when they started walking with Jesus Christ and they started experiencing his word and his love in their hearts. And then he sent them out. I was sent out by a small community church in White Rock. But my story doesn't begin there. It begins yet when I was 16 years old. And a friend from school, a classmate, she was praying for me. I didn't know that at the time when I was 16. She was praying that I would become a Christian. She was a missionary kid. God laid me on her heart, and I did become a Christian. When I became a Christian, and it was a pastor of the Christian and Missionary Alliance that led me to the Lord in Mississauga, Ontario, he said, "Open your Bible." And I opened my Bible, read a passage. And I read a passage. And it was this passage in Romans 10 that Margaret's already read. And I want to read it again. Verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And I thought in my heart, that night when I received Jesus Christ, I am so glad that somebody has told me about Jesus. Then the pastor said to me, "Tomorrow you must tell somebody of what you've done, that you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Tomorrow." Well, I was working part-time at Dominion Stores as a cashier, a grocery store in Ontario. And so I went to my work the next day, and I was thinking, man, who am I going to talk to? I've got to tell somebody about Jesus. So I got to my break time, and there was one other co-worker there in the break room. And I said, well, in my heart, gulping, timid, and I told her about Jesus. I remember that story this morning. I woke up a little bit early, and I hadn't thought of the verse that the pastor had spoken to me about that night. It's this one, a little bit earlier on in the chapter of Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now, when I went out to Angola, I went to be a part of outreach to the Ovamwila people in the southern part of Angola. Angola has 41 languages. The official language of Angola is Portuguese, because Angola was colonized by the Portuguese for over 400 years. And then the Angolans waged a war of independence just to gain their independence from the Portuguese, gaining independence in 1975, and then continued in a war, in a guerrilla warfare, where the government MPLA forces and the guerrilla movement led by Jonas Savimbi, the UNITA side, waged war for 27 years until 2002. We've had now almost 6 years of peace. But in Angola, there are 41 languages, and there are 40 Angolan languages. And only 16 of those languages have a Bible or a New Testament. And I went to be part of the outreach to the Ovamwila people in the southern part of Angola. Now, the reason I went to Angola, and as Margaret had mentioned in my introduction, I was in Gabon before, and our whole team was reassigned at that point from Gabon, the only place that Africa Evangelical Fellowship at that time had a ministry of primary health care amongst an unreached people group was Angola. And that's how I ended up in Angola at Rio de Vila Hospital. Could I have the slides, please? And then at Rio de Vila Hospital, I work as a general practitioner. I'm involved in medical care, general medical care, surgery, minor surgery, community health development, tuberculosis, some leprosy, a lot of malaria, some HIV, AIDS. The community health program that we have is involved in ministry that goes in a range of 200 kilometers, taking vaccines for under 5 children, for prenatal moms, into the communities, meeting the people. And it's in meeting the people and being on their turf, in their territory, that the team has been able to reach out in love of Jesus Christ to them. The Momwila people are a beautiful, generous, loving, respectful people. On one side. On the other side, there are people filled with fear of witchcraft, fear of evil spirits, a lot of alcoholism. The Momwila people have been considered a resistant people for years, and there have been people across Canada and in England and South Africa and many places have been praying for the Momwila people from the early 1900s. Only at the end of the, only by 1988, 89, 1991, was there a beginning of a turning to the Lord of a very few young people. At the end, there was a famine in Angola in 88 and 89. And in that time, the community health team started going out in the villages. And as they went out and they were taking basic health care, the message of sanitation and hygiene, and they were taking the word of God into the villages, then people began to hear the word of God. They heard the word of God because people were in relationship with them. They were in constant contact with them, month by month, week by week. Now, as a result, in the early 1991, there were about 9 people who came to Jesus Christ amongst the Ovamwila people. And when I arrived at Rio de Vila area in 1991, there was this keen group of people, a small baby church, a fledgling church starting up, keen to learn, keen to grow. They wanted to learn all about Jesus. They wanted to learn all about God's will, and they soaked it up. And I happened to have the privilege and the joy of living in their village for about a year and a half in a mud stick house, thatch roofing. And was able to get a bit of a window on what their life was like, what their struggles were in their survival for life, most and all in absolute poverty, but that keen desire, that love for God and wanting to learn about Him. The Momwila people now are a being reached group. They have a vibrant and dynamic church. They are reaching out to their own people, and they're reaching out to other people groups. They have started translating theological education by extension materials, books. There is actually a series of about 24 books, and they're translating them from Portuguese into Lumwila. I think the slides, the PowerPoint could start, but it's not working up here on the remote. Okay. And this translation group, there's two women and five men that are part of this. And it's an incredible group because they get up at 1 a.m. These are subsistence farmers, cattle herders, and mums. Five men and two women get up at 1 a.m. and they translate until 6 p.m. And now they're sending, that church is sending a fine young man who's just completed high school, and he's going into Eastdale Seminary, which is a bachelor-level seminary program in a nearby city, 40 kilometers away. And he will be the very first Momwila of that area to get that level of training. And with the TEE materials, they will be able to have nuclei of study groups training Momwila people to be their own workers, be their own evangelists and missionaries, sending them out into all the villages of the Momwila people and into other people groups. They're also a people group that have discovered that they need freedom in Jesus Christ. They need freedom from fear of the demonic, and they need freedom and deliverance. So they've understood this because they realize that when a Momwila person comes to Jesus Christ, they've already been dedicated to evil spirits when they were young, already. So when they come to Jesus Christ, many, as they give themselves to Jesus, they are free. Some need special deliverance. And this particular church now has understood that, and so they often receive visitors. They come, new Christians, or barely Christians, or just about Christians, and they come for prayer for healing and deliverance. And they might stay with the church for a few months, 6 months, or even a year as the church prays with them and disciples them over a period of time. Now, how does a very ordinary person end up preaching and healing in a faraway place? It needs, a person to grow needs a nurturing environment. And a very wonderful and loving family led me to Jesus Christ. When I was in university in Hamilton, I was part of Navigators. And that's where I learned about evangelism and discipleship. I was grounded. I had friends that have prayed with me. When I entered into a health crisis at age 21 and developed liver failure and was about to die, I had many people that were praying for me, friends. They prayed me through the crisis. When, after I married, and my husband entered into a severe depression, I had people who were praying for me. I had a friend who gave me a verse in Isaiah 49 that says, "Can a mother forget the child of her womb? Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? Yet if they forget you, I will not forget you. I will not forsake you." And those verses gripped me, and they were like an anchor during the months that my husband was severely depressed. When he then, in the end, in June of 1979, he attempted to murder me and then committed suicide himself, God protected and he delivered me. It was a tragedy and a terrible and painful experience. When a few months later, I had a friend come and visit me. She was a friend from high school, and she knew nothing of the verses that this other friend had given me from the Lord in Isaiah 49 about the baby at the breast. And she, this other friend is an artist, and she had drawn a beautiful, large drawing of a woman with a baby at her breast. And she said to me, "I think this is for you. Maybe it's for your consulting room in your office or something, but the Lord is just telling me that this is for you." And I received that as an intimate and a very personal touch from the Lord that he was healing me. After my training at McMaster, University of McMaster, I came west And I lived at Harriet House, for those of you who are familiar with the history here in Lower Mainland of some of the revival that was taking place back in the 60s, 70s. And I went to church at Burnaby Christian Fellowship. And then from there, I went to White Rock and set up a general practice there. I had thought, perhaps after my internship, that maybe that God was sending me into missions. But I didn't feel certain, and I didn't, and on the contrary, I felt quite certain at that point that it was right for me to set up practice in White Rock. The Lord in White Rock led me into a fellowship of believers, a loving, caring, welcoming fellowship of believers. Started going for the very first time. I went to a church that I then considered a home church, because up till then I'd been studying and moving, 1 year here, 1 year there. And finally in White Rock I settled, and settled into a home church. And the home church was Community Bible. It is since closed. And I'm now at Broadway Church in Vancouver as my home church. But you know, the body of Jesus Christ is not about denominations and church buildings, church groups. It's about being one in the body of Jesus Christ. But Community Bible, the folk there, many of them are my very dear, faithful prayer partners and supporters up till this time. They welcomed me. I felt needed. I felt wanted. I felt welcomed. It was a growing, nurturing environment. The question for us at this time, and I'd like to just pose it, it's for me and it's for you, it's for us. Are we providing safe, loving places for others? Perhaps those are people who are younger, perhaps they're older. Are we letting them know that we want to be with them, that we enjoy being with them? In that nurturing environment, in the home church that I settled into in White Rock, there was dialogue with the Lord. I was able to talk with the Lord. I was able to say, Lord, I'm reading in your word about love, but I don't feel love in my heart. My heart feels cold. I'm reading in your word about the zeal, about the desire to share Jesus. Where is that in my heart? Your word talks about heaven and hell. When I became a Christian, I didn't think very much about heaven or hell. I just wanted to be part and have what I saw in the loving family that introduced me to Jesus Christ. Do I have a sense of sinfulness? I see that in your word, but what is it in me? Do I really long for your holiness? And reading God's word and dialoguing with God, that took place in a nurturing environment. That's where it was possible to happen. At Community Bible, there's a group of us that decided that we would like to be part of a course that we took in Seattle. And the course was called Formation for Healing Ministries. And actually was introduced to me, the idea, by one of my patients, a Catholic, and she and her husband were part of the group, and then about six of us from Community Bible. And that course, Formation for Healing Ministries, was a course offered by a Catholic charismatic group in Seattle, and we took it in White Rock by satellite. In that course, we learned of the power of forgiveness in healing. We learned the healing word of encouragement. And yes, how to pray for miracles, how to pray for deliverance. In that very safe and loving group, that was a group of worshiping God, I experienced healing in that growing, everyday way. And I also experienced a particular healing through my praying friends in the mercy of God for the pain that I had experienced in the death of my husband. We are meant to be growing, healing, and being transformed. Now, when Roy Comrie, who was a missionary with Africa Evangelical Fellowship, or AEF, that later merged with SIM, came to our mission board and presented the issue or the concern about unreached people groups, he said this. We had just had the Billy Graham Crusade. And the motto for the Billy Graham Crusade in the Lower Mainland of BC was, each one reach one, and the world be won for Christ. And he made the point, that's true, but only for the language groups, where there's somebody in that language group that can share Jesus Christ. And I thought, man, how can they hear? And I started praying about that and thinking about that. And then Missions Fest came along. Missions Fest in 1985, and that was in January. And what was the theme for Missions Fest that year? Unreached people groups. Ralph Winter from the U.S. Center for World Missions was one of the plenary speakers. Wycliffe was there with fascinating seminars. And I was there soaking it all up, thinking, is God calling me to leave my practice and go now to be part of an unreached people group ministry? How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? When I read those verses again, it was as though I had read them ever since that first time when I was 16 years old. And I didn't hear a big voice of God booming down and saying, Karen, go. I didn't hear a little quiet voice saying, Karen, I want you to go. But in that, my heart welled up a prayer. Lord, send me. Send me to take the news of your healing love. Send me. Then I was faced with the issue, well, is that desire, is that prayer, is that of me or is that of God? And it took about a year and a half to work through praying, hearing, looking at the Word, praying, dialoguing more. From Missions Fest of 85 to when I was accepted into the mission at AEF, the 2nd of June of 1986. And I was driving from Vancouver out to White Rock, and I liked that highway. When I first was making a decision where would I set up my practice, and I was driving from Vancouver to White Rock, and I could drive along there and seeing the country and smelling the country smells. And that attracted me to White Rock. And when I was later in 86, and I was driving from Vancouver to White Rock one day, and I realized that God had done a deep work of healing in my heart and that he had set me free, and I was free now to go, to move on. And just as a little confirmation, because God is so good and he loves us so much, the day that I was accepted into the mission with AEF, which later merged to be SIM, that day was 7 years, June the 2nd, 7 years to the day after the death of my husband. And it was as though God was confirming to my heart, yes, it is me, I am sending you. Jesus sent out his disciples to preach and heal. He sends us. We need the healing of God physically, emotionally, in our relationships with spouses, with parents, with children, with our neighbors. I'm remembering a 20-some-year-old woman, a Mungambe woman, and she came to Rio de Huila just a few months ago in desperate straits, dire straits. I didn't think she'd make it through the night from a human point of view. She had congestive heart failure. She had tuberculosis. She had a very small baby with her. And she was in her last day. We started treatment on her, medical treatment, and I asked one of our workers at the hospital, who has a particular gift for intercessory prayer and for praying with people for healing, asked him, would he spend some time with her? And so he did. He met with her and her family and started praying with her. It was a beauty to behold, her recovery. It was so rapid. She recovered from the congestive heart failure. She began to have faith in Jesus Christ. She's still a ways to go. She needs to be discipled, but she's on her way. There's another woman I'm thinking of, a 50-some Mumwila woman, history of abdominal pain, and her husband was a traditional healer, a witch doctor, and had put a curse on her. And she came to the Mumwila church near Rio de Huila and Gunga for prayer. And they prayed for her. They brought her to the hospital, and I saw her and treated aspects of her situation that were medical, gastritis. And she still had pains. She got prayed for more. And now she's recovering, very little symptoms. This is the healing love of Jesus Christ, touching person by person, one by one, that people would experience his love in a healing. Then there's Segunda, Kuvali man, unreached people group, the Kuvali people. And he went crazy. He was crazy. He had to be tied to a tree. And when Christians there were in Virey, were praying for him, and then they decided to bring him out to a church in a nearby city, prayed for him, and he began to get better. When he really had a turn for the better, he had come to Rio de Huila, he had gotten some medical tests done. There wasn't really medically anything wrong with him. And he was in Bible study and being discipled because he had taken first steps of faith. But he really began to get better the day that he realized that since he had been dedicated to the drum spirit of his mother, who is a diviner, he had to renounce that spirit. And it was hard for him because the spirit had been a part of his life all his life. When he renounced that spirit and he became free, that's when he really began to walk with Jesus Christ in victory. Jesus sent the disciples out to preach and to heal. He sends us. Angola is almost 50% Christian. That's between the Catholics and the Protestants. That's better than Canada. But there's a lot of nominalism. There's many that don't have the blessing of discipleship, of Bible studies in their own language. They want to be Christians, they've become Christians, but they're not walking with the Lord in victory and without fear of witchcraft. Many Christians still seek out traditional healers. They've got one foot in one camp, being a Christian, but still seeking out help. Then there are Christians who are fearful. We had a nurse last year. She was pregnant, and she started dreaming of one of the other hospital workers. And she had raw meat in her dream. And that's, for Angolans, is very worrisome because that implies witchcraft, that somebody's trying to kill you. And she associated witchcraft with the other staff worker and started to accuse her. And her family then met with that person. The person was taken to the church, but in fear. We've got to stop this threat. This threat can't continue in our community. How can we make her stop her witchcraft? That was an opportunity, and it was a good opportunity for the hospital staff to see that they needed a different approach, approach that was one of faith, to believe in God's ability and power to deliver that other staff person, deliver her from witchcraft, that she would be healed and no longer practice if indeed she was practicing witchcraft. It's tough issues that Christians have to grapple with. Then in Angola, there are Christians who I think are making education their God. Because during the war years in Angola, many people couldn't get education. Very tough getting forward in their education. And they had understood very well from the Portuguese, who told them basically that they were nothing, that they were no better than animals, but that if they could get educated, then they could get the same rights as the Portuguese. And that's in Angolans, to want education. And it's to be somebody. It's to be human. So for Angolans, in wanting that education, they will often sacrifice time with their family. They'll take off from work. They'll put everything aside except education. Now, we have a hospital administrator, a fine young guy, Fernando, who did his high school in economics. And then he worked at Rio de Huila for 9 years and wasn't able to carry on his studies. And then after the 9 years, which was last year, he decided, no, this is time. I really want to go forward. Now there's a faculty-level program in computer technology in university in Lubango. And so he's studying now part-time, studies at night. And he had an opportunity this last July to go to Benin, because SIAM had a medical consultation bringing together people of medical ministries all over Africa. And I went and he went. And it was a great consultation. When we got back, that's when he told me, well, I had exams during that time. And I thought, oh, man, if you had told me that before we went, I'd have had serious reservations about you going. But he said to me, no, I really believe that God wanted me to go. And I prayed that God would look after the situation. And he trusted God. And as a matter of fact, he was able to do remake exams and his professors understood. He risked what was really important to him. And that is beautiful. That's a faith-filled Christian, courageous. Courageous Christian, part of the Bride of Jesus Christ. Now, in Africa, I'm sure that many here have heard of lots of stories about corruption and constant conflicts. And sometimes I think when people hear about Africa, they are pessimistic. Do you know that you can't take a stand against corruption? You can't take a stand against corruption unless you are sure that you have protection from witchcraft and victory in Jesus Christ. There isn't anybody that can take a stand against corruption unless they have that assurance. That's why discipleship, interactive Bible studies, one-to-one relationship, friendship, walking with people in their walk with Jesus Christ is so important. And that's when people can put aside corruption, when they have that victory in Jesus Christ. For that, many people are needed, many workers, many prayer warriors, many supporters. In Angola, the Catholics and Protestants united in prayer. This was during the war. This was before 2002. And the people were tired of war. They didn't want any more war, 27 years of war. So the Catholics and all the Protestants, they got together in an organization called COYEPA to encourage everyone across the whole nation of Angola to pray and to lobby the government, to put pressure on the government to make peace between MPLA and UNITA. And their advocacy for ending the war succeeded. God heard their prayers, heard our prayers. All have been praying for Angola, and the war did end in 2002. But peace is very fragile. And we have only to think of the situation in Kenya that's happening right now. How fragile a democracy, a peace. And we're having elections in 2008 for the parliament, and elections in 2009 for the president of the country. And Angola needs prayer. There are too many people who still need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ in Angola. Pray for Angola. Are you praying, thy kingdom come? Is that your prayer? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Jesus sent the disciples to preach and to heal. He sends us to preach, to speak of Jesus, and to heal. For me, I'm asking God, what is the next step? I love being with the Momila people. I'm at the hospital. I'm doing medical work. I'm doing teaching. I'm helping with development of administration and leadership development. And I love it. I'm discipling amongst the Momila people. But what about the other people group in Angola, the Vamashi, the Kuvali, the Vahakawona? They need to hear. What about coming to Angola? What about preaching and healing in Angola? What about sharing Jesus in Angola? You could come, visit. You could be a part of outreach, whether it's in medicine or teaching or agriculture or literacy, animal husbandry, drama, radio. There are lots of opportunities. I'm here all weekend and would love to visit with you. You can drop by the SIM booth. You want to sign up for my newsletter. Stay in touch by email. Get my email address there. Leave your email address with me. There's one last thing I want to say. It's from what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul says that we are Christ's ambassadors, all of us here, the beautiful body of Jesus Christ here. We are all ambassadors. You see, preaching and healing is an everyday process. Every day. It's who we are. So when we love Jesus and we long for others to know his love, we are all ambassadors for him. It's sharing Jesus. It's healing and growing. It's nurturing. Let's go village by village in our communities to be with our neighbors. Tell them of Jesus. Tell them of his healing love. Where is your village? Where is your neighboring village? Is God calling you to a faraway village? For such a time as this, we need all hands on deck. There are many languages, many people that need to hear. People who God means to be part of his beautiful bride for Jesus. They're waiting to hear. They're a part. Please pray for Angola. Pray for peace. Pray for more workers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for more workers. Can we pray, Jesus, send me to my neighbor. Let me be a channel of your healing love. Send us, Lord.
You have been listening to a seminar presented at Missions Fest 2008. For further resources in DVD and CD format, go to www.missionsfestvancouver.ca or contact our office at 604-524-9944.